Hey everyone, I'm Preston Lee.
And I'm Clay Mosley.
And this is Freelance to Founder. Every week, we sit down with freelancers like you for actionable coaching calls with one mission.
To help you ditch the feast famine lifestyle.
And build your own sustainable business.
At one point, we were both brand new freelancers, barely making ends meet.
But by now, we've started, grown, and even sold a few businesses of our own.
And we want to help you do the same. If you're ready to go from freelance to founder,
then join the army of freelancers who are taking matters into their own hands.
Visit freelancetofounder.com to apply for your own on-air coaching call. And now, get ready to take some notes because an all-new episode of Freelance to Founder starts right now.
On today's episode, we chat with Brendan, a sales consultant who wants to scale his business to something bigger. And while he finally started hiring people to help him scale, he's still a bit unsure about the path forward. He's working on a course for some more passive income, and he's trying to transition away from one-on-one consulting gigs to more of a sales coach role. Since Clay and I are fresh off our recent 5-day group challenge, we have some good advice for his course's future. And since Clay is building a very similar business to Brendan's, we wrap up the episode with some killer advice on scaling a coaching business. It's a high-energy conversation today, and it all starts right after this quick break. Whether you want to travel more or communicate better with international clients, you need to try Babbel. I've used Babbel's courses, and you can do the same in order to learn real-life conversation skills in a different language, order food, ask for directions, or speak to clients without having to use translation apps. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for our listeners at babbel.com/freelance. That's 60% off at babbel.com/freelance, spelled babbel.com/freelance. Rules and restrictions apply. When you wake up in the morning and check your phone, does it feel like this or like this? Because with Shopify, your morning can feel like this way more often. That's the sound of a sale being made on your new Shopify store. And while client payments may require weeks or months of work, you can start generating a semi-passive income to grow your business by setting up a Shopify store all of your own. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your latest designs on shirts or bags or adding something totally different to your business, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You can sell online, you can sell in person, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. With Shopify, you can set up your store in minutes and start selling immediately. And Shopify's award-winning support is there to help you as you go. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/freelance. That's all lowercase. That's shopify.com/freelance to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/freelance. Or click the link in our show description and start waking up to this. Welcome back to another episode of Freelance to Founder, as always. And happily, I'm joined again, I guess not as always, because I've been missing him the last few episodes. I'm joined by my friend Clay Mosley from GetDripify.com. Hey, Clay, how you doing, man?
Hey, good to be back. Sorry, I missed the last few episodes.
Well, you can't help that it was like the day after tomorrow, that movie where everything's covered in ice. It was like that down in Texas. And I'm glad you guys came through it okay. That was nuts.
For sure.
Yeah, but glad you're back. Glad you're well. And we're joined also today by our new friend, Brendan, calling in from Maryland. How you doing, Brendan?
I'm doing well, Preston. Thanks, man.
Good. Yeah, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you. Let's kick off the show strong here and tell us a little bit, Brendan, about your business. Tell us what you're working on and what you're doing recently.
So I've been in sales, enterprise and B2B sales for a long time. And I've done that for the last, 3 decades plus. And about 10 years ago, I went off on my own and started doing, I was kind of tired of working for other companies. And so I went out and started consulting to companies as an independent salesperson.
Okay.
And that kind of turned into a long-term freelancing gig. And then,
awesome.
And
so,
then
so that's,
that, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So that's what you're doing now. You're a freelance consultant in terms of sales. Tell us maybe about your clients. Like, what kind of clients do you typically work with?
Typically, it's healthcare technology startups or startups that are in the kind of the healthcare space in some fashion. In the last 10 years prior to going out on my own, I was in healthcare sales, and so that's kind of been my niche.
Okay. And you're doing that full time, part time, on the side. Like, what is the business look like?
Essentially full time. I have another. I'm also working. I'm co-founder of a company that called Expertscape that identifies and objectively ranks medical experts. And so that's the other kind of project that the other focus for me from a career standpoint, work standpoint.
Yeah. So you're very involved in all aspects of sounds like the medical stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. But you're spending the bulk of your time then on this consulting business, freelance business. Do you have any employees you're working with? Is it just you? Like, what does that setup look like?
It's just me. And then I have consultants that I work with from time to time for certain things. And then I'm just now starting to work with a virtual assistant. So I'm long overdue, but I've got a virtual assistant now that I'm working with. So it's the enterprise is getting a little bit bigger.
It's usually long overdue every time somebody hires an assistant. Every single time.
Yeah. For me, it's long overdue anytime I hire anyone. I'm always like, I should have done this a long time ago.
We could certainly get into that at length because I've kind of it's been an epiphany for me to find.
What was the turning point for you, Brendan, that you finally were like, enough's enough, I have to hire someone to help me out?
Oh, for a long, long time, I've known, my time is really valuable and I value it at a certain, X number of dollars per hour. Mm-hmm. And then I'd find myself doing spreadsheet work, loading data in for a client. And I'm thinking, someone's got to be able to do this for me better. Yeah. And I was doing
torturous.
Yeah. I was doing the chunks where you'd hire someone to do a task and it would take too long to just find the right person, do it, educate them. Now I have someone that's kind of quasi full time.
I love that you bring that up because like so many people, they hear me and Clay preaching on the show, hire out, outsource or whatever. There is definitely a difference between finding someone one time on, Fiverr or Upwork or even through your own network or something and getting them up to speed and having them do one project only to then have to do that all over again. The next time you need help with something, that is a part of the reason so many people are overwhelmed with the idea of hiring is because they do it on this short-term basis. There is such a difference between that and like someone who's, even if they're not full-time with you, my whole team is part-time, but they're like dedicated to our project. And so they're on the team. It's not like a one-off thing that they don't care that much about or that I have to bring them up to speed. We're now just like chugging along, even though they're not full-time. And it makes a world of difference.
And they also, they start to figure out how you think and what your expectations are, what works. And so after a while, you get into a flow. Like you can send them something and know that it's going to be done in a certain way. And they kind of know, they just figure it out, which is, long overdue for me.
Yeah. Spot on. Well, I love that you brought that up. I mean, everyone has those moments where they're like, I really should be doing something else besides this activity. Maybe it's not a revenue generating activity, or maybe you're just frankly just tired of it. Whatever it is, like that's a good moment to pause and say, could I hire this out? Can I afford to hire this out? I guess, how did you know that the money wasn't going to be an issue? Because I know that's a concern for a lot of people, particularly solo freelancers. It's like, man, every bit of money that I bring in, I need to keep or put back in my business. I don't know. How did you know that wasn't going to be an issue?
Yeah, I went through that kind of math in my head. If I'm making, if I value my time at $500 an hour, say, then if someone's working on something, if I'm working on something for an hour, then that I could have paid a VA to do that. And then I ostensibly could have written something more important, like a long form blog post, or I could have made a few outbound calls or what have you. So that kind of factored in. And then the way I also tackled it is as a bit of an experiment. I went in, hired a firm on a 90-day window to test it out. And over the 90 days, it took a little while, but it eventually started to kind of fall into place. And I thought, this is definitely freeing me up. It definitely makes me more productive.
I love it. Yeah, we've talked about this on the show all the time, like that opportunity cost, right? It's not only that you're you're doing work that maybe you don't like, or maybe that is just menial tasks, but also like you're taking yourself away from opportunity to generate more revenue. If you're great at sales calls and you're spending all day in spreadsheets, like you're not building your revenue for your business. Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that that is kind of a curse is if you're like okay at WordPress, right? Then you end up getting in and diving in and doing stuff on WordPress. And I should never go into WordPress. You know, that's one of the things like I should have someone else do it, do any of the customization, and just
That's a very good point. Yeah. It's like for me, that's accounting, right? Like I know how to do all my own accounting. I know how to reconcile my statements every single month, but it takes me, you know, a day and a half to do it.
Yeah.
But or I can just pay my CPA $500 a month to do it. And that's like well worth it. You know what I mean? Like I just need to know how to, this is what I tell everybody. Everything that you outsource, you just need to understand it.
Yeah.
But then like let somebody else do it, you know?
Yeah. I love podcasts. I learn a lot from these things. So I just find him to be a treasure in terms of like learning new stuff. And Naval, I don't even know who Naval is, but he's a big deal on Twitter. And he had a comment about how if he values his time exceedingly high. And so anything that isn't worth his time, he either doesn't do or outsources. And he used the example of I don't return things. If I buy something and I don't want it, I just give it away or throw it away. And I'm sort of the same way on that. But then when it comes to WordPress or the data for a spreadsheet, I'll sit there and load it all in. And just it's illogical.
Yeah, and I'd say even stuff you're like fairly good at, depending on if it's revenue generating or not, or again that opportunity cost. Like if there's something you could be doing that could be generating more revenue. You know, I'm fairly proficient in WordPress. I have a minor degree in web development, so like I know my way around the code and all aspects of a website. And this year, finally, after, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years, I don't even remember, of doing it on my own, I finally hired a couple of developers to help me push some features forward on a product we have. And it has been amazing. Like, you know, I could have done it, like Clay said, I could have done it, but what's that opportunity cost and how long would it have taken me? And they knock these things out while I'm sleeping because we're in different time zones. And so it's amazing to like wake up in the morning, this thing is finished, we push it out and we move on to the next. And it's a lot of fun. So, you know, the fun of it is like getting your business to a point where you're generating enough cash flow that you can hire people to help you generate even more cash flow. And then it's really exciting. So, well, I'm glad things are going well there. I'm glad the outsourcing has started to be a positive thing for you. Let's dive into, listeners of the show are familiar with our freelancer to founder scale. You know, everybody who comes on the show, which by the way, if you want to come on the show and get a coaching call with Clay and myself, you can visit freelance2founder.com. There's a little yellow microphone icon. You just click there and it'll give you instructions to fill out a form. And if your business is a fit, we'll have you on for a coaching call like we're having Brendan on today. We'll talk about your business, some of the hurdles that you're facing. It's really a lot of fun, a little 40-minute conversation, coaching call, and we'd love to have you. Visit freelance2founder.com again, and you can jump on a call like Brendan is today. But part of the questionnaire that we have every guest fill out asks where you're currently at on the freelance to founder scale. So one being freelance, 10 being founder. Brendan, you put yourself at a 6, which is on the high side for, I think, most of our guests that come on the show. Tell us why, despite maybe being only you and one other person on your team, tell us why you rated yourself as a 6 on that, on the freelance to founder scale.
Oh, well, that's because it's a little bit of, it was tough because I have the two different things going. So on one, it's clearly, you know, it's much more of a founder. And then on the consulting side, I'm probably not quite a 6. What I've been doing now is I've been transitioning away from this fractional CRO, chief revenue officer kind of model, mm-hmm. where someone comes in and hires me to be a part-time CRO, you know, chief revenue officer or a consultant, sales consultant, and moving towards doing more sales coaching. And so I'm seeing a shift in my revenue, you know, stream there and my marketing. And, you know, so I guess one of the problems I will be facing from that standpoint that we can kind of dive into is how do you make that scalable? And, you know, because the consulting business is, you know, for me, it's been great, but it's not scalable. I'm basically an employee of a sort.
Yeah, it's scalable to a point, but then you still only have so many hours and so many resources. I think Clay might have some good feedback on that here in a moment, because he's running a similar business, Fractional CMO, Chief Marketing Officer. So I guess before we dive into all those details, I know we're chomping at the bit here. I want to make sure that we cover this scale. So you put that you want to be in 6 to 12 months and 8 on the scale. So tell us, maybe in a perfect world, what does your business look like in 6 or 12 months? What does that 8 on the scale look like for you, Brendan?
Oh, I'm out of, or way back on the amount of consulting work I do. And I'm doing much more in the way of retained coaching engagements with startups, and you know 4 to 6 to relationships that I'm working with. Number one, and number two is I'm aspiring to have a course developed and shipped and available between now and the next 6 months. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you have client. You're looking for
what does that mean? A course. Sorry. Go ahead, Preston.
I think we're on a delay there. It's okay. Go ahead, Clay.
Oh, I was just wondering what that meant. The course. When you say course shipped and ready to go, like what does that mean?
Well, I'm working with another sales consultant. Person to develop a course for startup founders on sales, how to get your next X number of customers and the process.
Digital?
I'm sorry, digital?
Is it digital, virtual?
Yeah, we're going to do it as a cohort. So it's going to be a cohort live course, but we'll record it and we may make it available subsequently as a packaged, you know, digital product. But at first, it's going to be a cohort course that runs for a 4 to 6 week period.
Yeah. Clay and I know a thing or two about that, right? We did our 5-day challenge, recurring revenue challenge, which was fantastic. Clay's done a few more also through his brand. So yeah, that's, so in 6 to 12 months, you've got maybe some passive income through courses, and you've got some recurring revenue through clients who are paying you on a regular basis to coach them on and maybe their team on sales and that kind of thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So where do we kick this off? What's I know you were jumping into hurdles a little bit before. Where do we start? What's holding you back? What's stopping you from getting to that 8 in the next 6 or 12 months that we could potentially help you jump that hurdle?
You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's Hydrow. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description. Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply.
I guess my big challenge is just the amount of time it takes to develop the curriculum. I'm still kind of wrestling with what ought to go into the curriculum and what doesn't. And this will be my first course. I think it's well within my capabilities, but I've not delivered one before, so I'm kind of fascinated to see how this all plays out. I do have the benefit of working with a fellow who's done this before. So the combination of the two of us should ensure some success. I don't know if that helps set the stage.
Yeah. Clay, what thoughts do you have in terms of, it's his first time, he's doing maybe a course or a challenge, and he's feeling a bit overwhelmed by the curriculum or by the process? I know you've gone through this process a couple of times. I maybe have some thoughts to add as well, but what do you think, man?
Yeah. There's a couple of things. I mean, the first thing I gotta point out is to not be completely like head dive in into this thing and ignore everything else. I have seen people do that. And when that happens, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like this dream of like, I'm going to create this course and it's going to sell on itself in the background without me having to do anything, which is totally happened.
Yeah.
But what happens is that when people they implant this idea in their head, they totally ignore everything else that they're doing in their business that's actually making them money. And then what happens is that they launch the course and it's crickets. And then all of a sudden they have zero revenue because they ignored the other part of their business. And so I just want to be very clear not to do that. I've seen that happen so many times. Is just don't ignore the part of your business that is making you money right now. And while you're building out this course, do that kind of quote unquote on the side.
Yeah.
While you're actually working and making money. So that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing that I'll say is, Preston probably knows this. Like, I would validate the idea before you go deep into it. Have you done that yet?
I have a little bit, and I have a speaking engagement on this topic at the end of the month where I'm. So this will be kind of a good indicator of, what kind of uptake there is for this sort of a course. Now my business partner on this has done this before, so we do have some kind of track record in the space, but I am going to validate it later this month.
Yeah, when Clay and I say validated, it's like, can you sell it now? Right?
Go ahead,
we did our 5-day challenge, and we sold it like 2 or 3 months before we even started thinking about the curriculum. And so sometimes, maybe what Clay's getting at is like sometimes people get behind or get backwards on this, like thinking like their curriculum has to be perfect before they can sell it, where selling can be the best way to validate it. If no one's going to buy it, then you don't have to make it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think we're going to start selling it in the very early part of April and not planning to launch it until early part of May. And one of the things I'm looking to do is as we market it, I'm going to Q&A people to see, obviously we're going to see if we get uptake for the course itself, but I'm planning to send out a questionnaire of sorts. And in fact, I'd love to hear, Clay, what your thoughts are on this. what kind of response you get from questionnaires beforehand. Because I think I want to use the questionnaire as a way to kind of confirm what ought to be in the course. I mean, I have a good idea, but there it may very well be that, you know, the expectation is, oh, I really want to understand how the sales call works, as opposed to, yeah, you know, what the sales process is or how to close or pricing.
Yeah, when you're talking about a questionnaire, you're talking about after you validate it or as part of the validation process? Because I think those are two totally different things.
That's an excellent question. I was kind of thinking a little bit about it in both instances. Like, you know, I'm a sales guy, so I'm constantly validating things. When I talk to people about the course, when we do things about the course, I'm going to try and prompt people to give me feedback all along the way. But in addition to that, in a more formal sense, because I'm trying to become more rigorous about this sort of stuff, I want to do a questionnaire or two, like a survey. So the one I was thinking of particularly is, once someone signs up, I want to send them a survey that says, hey, thanks for signing up. Here's some things we can expect. And then here that you can expect, here's some pre-course work you can do. Here's a video about some aspect. And could you tell me a little bit more about you and what you want to learn out of the course, yada, yada. And then the idea is to see if I get some common themes that we ought to really kind of drill down on.
Okay. So I think it's good that you are going this direction. I think the way that you're talking about it is like when you say like sending a survey and sending like, you know, this kind of, it sounds like you're going to probably send it in an email. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the issue I have with this, the way that you're talking about doing it is I think there's a lot of friction. And so,
okay,
what do I mean by that? I mean, there's a lot of friction in, there's a lot of, it would take more effort for someone to actually give you feedback in that way, the way you're going to send it. So if you send it a formal survey in an email, like that's a lot of effort for me to freaking reply back to an email, fill out this form. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I get 1,000 emails a day. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. So if you want to think about it this way, you need to think about how can you get feedback in the fastest, easiest way possible.
Okay.
And as of right now, to me, at least at the recording, and this is for me personally, okay? This is different for everybody. But that's going to be like in a Facebook group or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's super quick and easy, where somebody can just really quickly comment on something.
Yeah.
And so like I would think about, and it doesn't have to be a Facebook group, it can be something else, but I would think about how easy is it for that person to give feedback on some level.
Yeah.
And if it's like a big old form, like, no, you're not going to get any feedback, man.
Can I add something to that too? So, you say you're giving a speech a little bit later, like I don't know exactly the details of the speech, we don't have to go into it, but let's just say you have like 15 minutes slotted, right? What if instead of taking 15 minutes to do your speech, you took 5 minutes to do your speech, and then it was followed, or 7 minutes, and then it was followed by the remainder of the time taking questions from the audience? Because they're already there, you've already established yourself as an expert, but you don't know exactly what their biggest pain points are. Here's exactly how Clay and I do it. This podcast is a great opportunity for us to see what general pain points are for freelancers, right? Who are trying to scale their business. And so we know exactly what freelancers need in order to scale their business because we've done 40 conversations saying, what are your biggest pain points? And there's common threads that run. And so if you did something like that at your speech where you said, you know, that's what I had to share with you today. Now I want to open it up and I want to give you some one-on-one coaching with any hurdles you're facing. They bring those up and now all of a sudden they're basically just handing you the curriculum for the course. Especially ones that are repeated or ones that seem to get a lot of follow-up questions or things like that. You can really take note of that.
Those are two excellent points. First of all, just saying anytime someone says friction, I just immediately... my ears perk up. So that's a great feedback. And so is Preston. So is that about the using the talk to kind of uncover and And so I'll certainly do that. And that will, and I think those two things will give me some, you know, much better insight into what the expectations are and how to deliver on those. How do you keep people in a course engaged? Because, you know, from my experience is if you sign up, you know, if you sign up 100 people, you know, 30 or 40 or 50% of them are engaged and then the others aren't. But I want to make sure that people are engaged as much as possible. How do you go about that?
You know, we did our challenge recently. We did a couple things to keep people engaged. We sent daily emails, sometimes multiple times a day, with homework. So homework's another way to keep them engaged. Yep. Actual things they have to do and report back on. We had prizes for people who did their homework the day before. We drew their names out of a bucket, and they won an Amazon gift card. The prize went up every day. So that was a lot of fun. We had comments. So we used a platform called Podia, and you could leave a comment. So part of the homework was like, leave a comment and tell us what you're doing in this area or what you've done. And so there was a lot of engagement there. We actually had great turnout. And I think the other thing too was we didn't just turn on the Zoom meeting and become talking heads. It was very interactive. So it was very like, tell us.
Very informal.
Tell us. Yeah. And it was informal and yet still like very action oriented and helpful. But yeah, people felt like they could also talk with us, that we weren't like a professor at the front of a classroom that they were taking notes. It was more like a, you know, a council of people sitting in a circle trying to uncover solutions together. So those are a few things we did. I don't know, Clay, do you have anything you want to add?
No, that's pretty good. Like, I guess it just depends on how you're going to format this course. I'm assuming we're talking about the course specifically. And so, I mean, you can do all the ways that, you know, press in and mention. The thing you have to think about is what are all the ways to build a community? And that can mean multiple different things, you know, that like, so community to me means, how can others who bought the course or bought whatever it is you're selling interact with each other, but also how can they, have a two-way interaction with you?
Yeah.
And so like, for example, like email, that's, you know, yeah, technically it's two-way because they can hit reply back, but it's not like it's not a true two-way conversation, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like Facebook groups, for example, is a very, very valuable thing on how to create a community.
Yeah.
The only thing about that is that I'd be careful just at the time of this recording. You know, Facebook groups might go away tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you always have to think of like different ways. Like Clubhouse is a big one.
Yeah.
And so like you can get all the members on Clubhouse and interact that way. So I would try to think of more than one way on how to create community that will increase engagement. Because if you have to think about increasing engagement, not just from you, because you're only one person. There's only so much you can do.
Right.
And so you have to think of ways, how can the community interact with each other? And then over time, that thing's going to be so high engaging where you don't hardly have to do anything. They just kind of keep to themselves and they, you know what I mean? Like you got to pop your face in there every once in a while, but I would be diverse in how you increase engagement and community just in case one of those things like goes away.
Yeah.
So like there's so many businesses these days that rely on Facebook groups and Facebook groups alone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap, like what happens if Facebook groups goes away, which is very possible.
Oh yeah.
Their business would be done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's great feedback. And so is the prize idea. That's a great idea too. I like that.
Yeah, that works very, very well.
That was actually my idea. I mean, I said it, but it was totally Clay's idea.
Yeah. Everyone loves prizes, man. That's a really quick and easy way to get people to engage.
The gift card idea is so like it's frictionless. You know, you just boom, Nick takes nothing. Right.
And it was so easy because we already had all the email addresses of our attendees. And so when someone wins a prize, I just pop into Amazon gift cards. I put in their email address, done. Like I didn't have to mail anything. It was really fast, really easy.
That's clever too. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it was good. So we probably are, three quarters of the way through the call here. Brendan, I want to make sure we cover everything. We've really talked a lot about this course. We can continue in that direction if you want to, or we can talk about any other hurdles you might be facing to get yourself to that 8 number in the next 6 or 12 months. I know you had mentioned, wanting to get more clients on retainer. Where should we take the conversation for the remainder of the time here today?
Well, we could go in. Well, I'll tell you, I've got one that's kind of interesting. So I'm doing a few as I do this coaching more and more. I've got a couple coaching clients. I'd like to build it a little bit more. And in some cases, I'm engaging with people on Twitter. I'm having these interviews I do a free consult on Twitter, and people come on, we schedule it via Twitter, and then I end up talking to them via Zoom call. And the feedback has been really good. I mean, people love the advice I give, and they've been very generous in terms of the kind of feedback they give on Twitter, which creates its own problem in the sense that the uptake has been good. And I'm having a little difficulty. I'm in the very early stages of figuring out how to convert some of those folks into full-time coaching customers. So, particular advice there?
Yeah, I can take this one. You probably have a mismatch of trust versus the offer.
Okay.
And so, like, can you tell me what your coaching fee is?
Right now it's like $250 an hour for 1 hour.
Okay. So it's just a one-off? It's not monthly? Or do you have a monthly
package?
Well,
no, that's for if someone just calls me and wants to have an individual session. Otherwise, it's $2,000 a month. For the month, okay. And then I'm on retainer. And the idea behind that is it's for startups that are funded or have some amount of money to spend, and they don't want to or they shouldn't hire a salesperson. Sure. So I'm basically like a fractional salesperson coach to kind of help them be more effective as a salesperson and as a founding salesperson, which I think founders need to do. They need to be able to sell in the beginning.
Sure, sure. So do you have a problem converting the $250 one-off 1 hour session or the monthly retainer or both?
Once they become on retainer, they're fine. They're quite happy. It's the free initial consult turning them into a paying customer.
Okay. So
I don't have, it's more that like I haven't done enough of them to know what works. So I suspect I'll figure it out, but I suspect you've probably already done it. So if you have tips there, that would be huge.
Yeah. So do any of those $250 ones turn into the monthly retainers? Or do those come or those monthly retainers? Okay. So that gives me a better picture. So here's what I would suggest. I think there's a mismatch of trust. I think you've heard on the show maybe like the different level offerings that I've talked about. I'm not sure if you remember that, but I think what might be better is I would increase your fee for the one-off. I mean, I'm not even sure I would even do the one-off in my opinion.
I agree.
I think someone who's willing to who just wants to do a one-off call, like, you're not making a ton of money there because it's just like, it's very transactional. So like, in my opinion, I would probably get rid of that and offer maybe like a not the $2,000 package, but one that's something that's lower than that. Yeah. Maybe like at the $8,000 to $1,000 or $800 to $1,200 a month package.
Yeah.
That's a little bit limited. And then below that, so like your $2,000 plus a month, to me is your level three. That's your high elite offering, right?
Yeah.
I almost think that that's low in my opinion.
It is low.
So if I were you, like if you're, what's your capacity there? Like what? How many can you take on of those?
Well, I don't want to do it full time. So if I had five or six, I'd be really happy. That's what I want. Like
five people, yeah. And you're sitting at five right now, right?
I'm sitting at two right now.
Two, okay. So, I if this were me, I would increase that fee to $2,500 a month. Yeah. I would come up with some level two offering that's $800 to $1,200 a month. And that could be that could be some sort of like group coaching.
Yeah.
Where you have five people in one group who are very similar and you coach them as a group.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then the your level one offering could be you could do you know, you could start off with this course, right? The course, you know, I don't know how much you're going to sell for, but you can, for anyone who cannot afford the $800 to $1,200 a month, you just go, oh, hey, well, I have this course. You can go take it.
Yeah.
And my point here is that you're, most of your time, I think you have this backwards. you say you don't want to spend full time on your level three stuff, your retainer. Yeah. I think that's where you need to spend 90% of your time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, when I say retainer, I don't want to do full-time consulting anymore.
And that's just because you just don't like it or?
Yeah, because you can't scale. So I want to do these coaching where I want to have like, when you say that the top tier, you're talking about having like five coaching customers.
Yeah, right? one-on-one stuff. So whatever. And I totally get that. You don't want to do that full-time. You can spend... When I say that's where you need to spend majority of your time, that's why I think you need to increase that fee to like $2,500 or $3,000 a month.
Yeah,
and
you're
maybe
right.
maybe you do only take on five clients, which is okay.
Yeah.
And then you spend the other time, the rest of your time with the group coaching at $800 to $1,200 a pop. And then your level one, your course, like once it's created, you spend zero time there.
Right, right.
And so like that's what I would do. I would have those as your level one, two, and three. And I would get rid of the $250 for 1 hour.
Yeah, that's
maybe Preston's got some feedback here.
No, I mean I agree 100%. I think that $250 one, especially if it's not converting, like if it was converting like mad, right? If it was a gateway drug to your $2,000 a month product, then I'd say hold on to it. But it seems to me like Clay's saying, you know, when you're talking a startup and you're talking about sales. $2,000 a month is nothing. You know what I mean? Like for most of these startups that have millions of dollars in angel investing or whatever, like $2,000 a month, if they can generate more sales, give back to their investors, boost revenue, like that's nothing. So yeah, I agree 100% with what Clay has said here.
Yeah, I think that's solid.
Yeah, I think so I used to do, okay, I'll just tell you, this is just from my personal experience. It sounds like we do very similar things, except you're on the sales side. I'm on the marketing side.
Right.
I used to do the same thing. I used to think that way. I used to think, well, one-on-one's not scalable. I said that.
Yeah.
I said that to... So I have a business coach. I said those exact words to my business coach. And my business coach said, no, you need to be spending your time on this highly offering and increase your fee. And so, you know what I did? And at the time, I was at $1,500 a month for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm at now? $3,500 a month. And and at the time, I was at $1,500 a month. I only had four clients, one-on-one clients.
Yeah.
And I had zero group coaching stuff.
Yeah.
And he told me to flip it around. And so I did. He told me to increase my fee and start taking on more because I thought my capacity was four. So very, very similar.
Yeah.
And so he goes, no, your capacity is not four.
Yeah.
You can spend more time there. And so what I did was I increased my fee to $3,500 a month. And now I have 12 clients at that level.
Yeah.
And then I created a group coaching, which is $1,000 a month. And I have about a dozen people on that.
Yeah.
And then I have multiple level one offerings, but those things don't take up any of my time. Because they're just super low dollar. And so, and as soon as I made that switch, my revenue increased by five times.
Yeah.
Five times.
Yeah.
In a matter of like 4 months. It was nuts. I was thinking the same thing as you. Like, oh, you know, working one-on-one with people, that's not scalable. Well, my capacity is 12 on that level and I will always take 12. So here's what you do. So a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, how do you get that to like 20, 30 people? Well, you don't because you're just one person.
Right.
You keep it at, you, whatever your number is, you keep that at the capacity And then you just build a wait list.
Yeah.
So if you get people who want to work with you and you're sitting at $2,000 a month, and then you all of a sudden get the five people, let's just say five people is your capacity. Yeah. Honestly, I think you can take on 10.
Yeah,
but let's just say you get on five and you're at capacity and you start getting a wait list. Oh, that's when you need to start increasing to $3,000 a month.
That's right. Yeah.
And then once you get up to 10 people, and let's just say 10 is your capacity.
Yeah.
And you have a wait list of like five or six other people who want to work with you. Well, all of a sudden your fee is $3,500 a month.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what happened to me is I increased it over time until like, because I have a wait list right now of like three people want to work with me, but I can't because I'm at capacity.
Yeah.
And so like, that's what you do. And then the group coaching, like that's easy to scale. That's easy. Yeah. Like you can do small groups, but you can do multiple groups.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get even deeper into this, you can hire a team.
There we go. That's what I was going to say. You can start to spread your expertise over multiple people.
Yes.
And the coaching, like the group coaching, you don't even necessarily have to be a part of that. You coach the coaches and then they coach the groups and then you save your time for the elite. And you could even bring on some people who eventually, after they do group coaching for a while, they become the elite coaches. Like this, this isn't unheard of. People like Tony Robbins have these kinds of models, right? Where it's just like, it's under the Tony Robbins brand, but like, it's not, you're not getting coached by him unless you're paying the absolute top dollar to have, you know.
And even him, he has a capacity, right? He works one-on-one,
right?
But he has a capacity, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it probably costs $100,000 or whatever ridiculous number he charges, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good feedback. And you know, in a different setting, I'd be the guy saying that to a customer or to another. But in this, it's funny how you can be so myopic when it's your own stuff. You know,
you're too close to it.
Yeah.
That's why everybody needs a business coach. Everybody.
It's wild, isn't it? It's so wild. Because
it like makes so much sense when you hear it, right? But for some reason.
Like I had a coaching call the other day where someone said, "Oh, that is just, I can't believe that's so phenomenal. It blew my mind." I'm thinking this is sales 101 stuff, you know, but it isn't everybody, you know, it isn't. It's like, you know, you know what you know and you don't know other stuff. And it's fascinating when someone else kind of points it out to you. So thanks. That's good.
Well, I think that's a fun way to end the episode. I'm glad it's been helpful and it's been a lot of fun for us chatting with you as well. I think you're well on your way. You know, you got some good things going for you and you've already broken the seal on hiring someone. So that's out of the way. I think, you know, you're poised to have some real good success in the next 6 or 12 months. We're excited to see how it goes for you, Brendan.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Preston. And you too, Clay. This has been really, really cool. And I just, as a quick aside, I've listened to a few of the episodes now and I think it was you, Clay, who says, "Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good." One of your episodes.
Yeah, don't let perfect get in the way of good.
Yeah I say that all the time. It's like, you know, so I thought that was, I figured, oh, this will be good because, you know, they'll have solid things to say. So thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for joining us on the show today, man.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, we'll see
you. Thanks, Brendan.
Freelance to Founder is produced by the team at Millo. Visit millo.co to level up your freelancing.
And Drippify, visit getdrippify.com to become a bad A in business.
Freelance to Founder is also part of the Podglomerate. You can check out more amazing podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music for this show was produced by Joaquin Carude.
You can catch past episodes at freelancetofounder.com or by searching Freelance to Founder in your favorite podcast player.
While you're at it, we'd love an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's all for now. Until next time, see ya.